Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. July 25th marked the 100th anniversary of the Scopes Monkey Trial, as it was nicknamed. The great orator, writer, politician, William Jennings Bryan versus Clarence Darrow. Williams and others wanted to stem the first wave of evolution in the public schools. A situation came up that made the high school in Ray County ground zero for the face of this trial. On a blistering hot July summer day in Dayton, Tennessee, the Scopes Monkey trial commenced. John Scopes, the substitute teacher, was found guilty, but the debate, as evidenced today, was not over. Strong Tower Radio did a program with our two guests who are with us today, Dr. Todd Woods, founder and president of Core Academy in that same town, and Dr. Lucinda Hill, adjunct faculty of Origins at Southern Adventist University. You can find that first interview that preceded this anniversary in our archives, str.fm, strongtowerradio.org, May 25th, Audio Archives, Strong Tower Radio Today. You will want to hear the full, complete background from Dr. Todd. Welcome to our program, Dr. Todd.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for your work at Core Academy.
Well, you're welcome.
Dr. Lucinda, welcome back. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. You introduced me to Dr. Todd Woods, and we went and we had a marvelous recording with him, did we not?
Yes, we did. It was awesome.
Absolutely. Well, we'll start our conversation. Dr. Lucinda, will you please pray for our listeners and pray for us?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and talk about these issues that have to do with our faith in you as the Creator God and the evidence that supports that faith. And I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to guide our conversation. But I also pray a special blessing on each listener, that you would bless them with the things that they need to hear in their own journey with you, their journey of faith. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dr. Todd, 100 years ago, Dayton, Tennessee was ground zero. And this summer, it was ground zero once again. There were two big conferences this summer. Would you explain to our listeners the two conferences that were were in the same town, just in series with each other, totally different, but we're going to talk about both today.
Sure. The first conference was held by the Ray Heritage Preservation Foundation. They organize our Scopes Festival every year, and they held a pretty large symposium attended by more than 100 people commemorating the anniversary of the trial. And that conference was called Evolving Conflict, and it featured speakers across the spectrum, and there were evolutionary biologists and historians and a couple of creationists as well. And then the second conference was the Origins Conference, Origins 2025. This has been going on annually for about 20 years now. And it was held on the campus of Bryan College this year, Bryan College named for William Jennings Bryan. And that conference also was commemorating, in part, the centennial of the trial, but also it's our regular conference. There's a lot of research presentations, a lot of technical stuff, a lot of student talks this year. So those were the two conferences. It was quite an intense 2 weeks there here in Dayton.
Absolutely. And you were quite involved with the second one organizing it, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that was organized by Core Academy, the ministry that I work with here in Dayton.
Absolutely. Tell our listeners a little bit about Core Academy.
Sure. We're a ministry that is designed and intended to basically mentor the next generation of creation scholars. My own experience in that was that essentially I was kind of on my own in a sense. I went to grad school and I knew a couple of creationists, but other than that, there wasn't really any intentional training. And I felt like we really needed to work on that as creationists. So I started Core Academy as a way to reach out to students in many different situations, some of whom are at Christian schools, some of whom are in secular institutions, all of whom are interested in creation and learning about how to be a creation scholar. So that's what creation, that's what Core Academy is all about.
And we'll want to talk more about that and give our listeners, if they have an interest, so they don't feel like they're alone in facing these issues.
That's right.
Todd, would you give us the highlights of the first conference? Not much changed. You were kind of out there by yourself. It was two creationists amongst the historians and the people of long origins.
Yeah. Yeah, so the main ideas here, the evolving conflict was actually held in the historic courtroom where the Scopes trial took place. So that was kind of a special privilege. And as I mentioned, yeah, there are speakers from all different perspectives. We had historian Ed Larson, who wrote Summer for the Gods, which was the Pulitzer Prize winning history of the Scopes trial, published a number of years ago. And we also had historians of religion and science. We had an evolutionary biologist tell us about human evolution and how things have changed over the last 100 years. After the conference on Saturday, Ray Heritage held a special oral history event where family members of the main participants of the trial got to come together and tell their own reminiscences of what it was like to grow up in kind of the shadow of the trial. That was pretty remarkable to hear the stories of people remembering what it was like to be part of that trial.
What was the main takeaways that you mentioned about having the people who lived in the shadow? Anything else?
Goodness. We learned a lot of sobering things. A lot of it was reminiscences of going to see Inherit the Wind, the movie that was sort of not exactly, but sort of based on the trial. Some of your listeners may be very familiar with Inherit the Wind. But we learned that, yeah, Brian's family members, particularly his kids, basically cried after seeing that movie and seeing how just terribly the situation was portrayed. It was very, not just non-historical, but very inflammatory and very very unkind way of portraying the people who were part of that trial. So yeah, that's the main thing that stuck out for me, is just the personal cost of being associated with this heritage.
You had a chance to speak yourself. Can you share what your perspective was and what you shared?
Sure. I was invited in part because I'm local, and it's easy for me to do a talk, and I was kind of the guy that was enlisted to talk about the creation perspective in the century since the trial. And I struggled most of the year. We sort of hatched this schedule and plan in the summer of 24, And then I had a year to think about what I was going to talk about, and it took me most of that time to figure out what I was going to do. But I eventually settled on the idea of conflict and the way that the trial transformed the creation, evolution, conflict in the country. It went from being an issue that most people didn't really know about and didn't really care about to being this national conflict. And I just, you know, my message was, hey, you know, we can be grown up about this, and we don't have to be fighting all the time. We don't have to be at war. God, of course, is involved in his own battles, right? But he has already won the battle. And so we can, as Christians, trust in God's provision. He's going to win this in the end. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, even the evolutionists are people that God loves and Jesus died for, and they are people who are loved of God, and we ought to treat them much like we would like to be treated, I think. And if we want to be respected and treated with decency, then we ought to treat them the same way. And so that was my message. It was an interesting message. But I was really impressed with the way the whole conference sort of unfolded. It was not anything like the trial. The sort of animosity of the trial. You know, Brian and Darrow came to the trial as sort of personal opponents. They were there to have at it, right, in public. Darrow came down there to mock the fundamentalist religion of William Jennings Bryan, and Bryan came down there to defend it against agnostics and atheists attacking the Bible. And the animosity was just on full display. And this time, yeah, there were different people there of different perspectives, but we, you know, we had lunch together and chatted about all sorts of things, and we didn't really have the same sort of opportunity to be angry and personally express our personal vendettas or whatever. We all just did our little presentations, and we chatted amiably with each other, and there you go. That's how it went. And it was kind of remarkable in that way, considering, you know, the conflict that we were there to remember. It was kind of startling.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. Was that recorded? I desire to see some of this. Was that preserved so we can see it?
It was. I think there's a private recording that was made for the Heritage Foundation. I don't think there was any public release of the talks.
And there's no notice that it will be made public.
No, I don't think so. We didn't sign any paperwork, so I'm assuming they're not going to put anything out on YouTube or anything.
Very good, Dr. Lucinda.
Well, I was just going to say that, Dr. Todd, I think it's awesome the spirit of friendliness with the other participants, even though you had very different viewpoints. But I remember quite a few years ago attending another function there in that Ray County Courthouse where you were having a dialogue with someone who has become a very dear friend of yours, but who has a very different perspective on creation, biblical creation and evolution, as in the theistic evolutionary concept. How did that play into your discussions during this conference?
Yeah, I actually brought that up. So that was a number of years ago, at least, oh goodness, probably 15 years ago. That was Daryl Falk. He is a professor of genetics from Point Loma University. He was also president of the BioLogos organization, which advocates for Christian evolution, that Christians should accept evolution as God's means of creation. So we don't see eye to eye, as you might imagine,
yes.
being a more biblical creationist myself. But Yeah, I mean, we came together there in a full house, much like it was during the trial, and we were there determined to show a different way of discussing things and being, you know, respectful and being open to be challenged, but at the same time, you know, sticking to our guns, and this is what we believe. And I brought that up during the presentation, during my presentation. I said, you know, this is what happened 100 years ago, but this is what happened 15 years ago. And it was a lot different than it was back then. And the very notion now, and I think this is really important, the idea of Christian evolution in the 20s was just not very common. Let's put it that way. There were those who advocated for a religious version of evolution, but generally speaking, those individuals were trying to push for really radical revision of theology, things like dispensing with the inerrancy of Scripture, dispensing with Christ's atonement on the cross, just really borderline heresy in the 20s. So the idea that there are now actual Christians who advocate and believe in inerrancy and Christ's exclusive atonement on the cross, that is a very different sort of environment than what we had in the 1920s. So the 2020s is quite different. And yeah, I think it's very important for us, and I think it's always important for us to reflect Christ's great commandments, right? Love God and love your neighbor. And I know sometimes loving your neighbor means, you know, we have to confront things. But I think loving your neighbor also means just plain be nice, right? Be nice to people. Because I find being nice to people, they tend to be nice back, and it's easier to talk to them about things that are difficult than when you are hostile and confrontational. That generally ends in resistance and anger. So, yeah, I that definitely came up, and thanks for reminding me of that, because yeah, that was a pretty important thing.
Well, listeners, we're going to be going to a break here, but we'll be coming back to talk about the Origins Conference that took place in Dayton, Tennessee, on the 100th anniversary of the Scopes Monkey Trial. I'm Tom Azure with Dr. Lucinda Hill, Southern Adventist University, and Dr. Todd Wood, who is the founder and president of CORE Academy in Dayton, Tennessee. We will be right back.
Hello, friends. JB here. Won't you help us as Strong Tower Radio spread the news about God's true character, about his love and concern for the human race, about the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers? If you'd like to help spread the word through Strong Tower Radio, why not go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button. There you'll find all the information you need to become a regular monthly giver or weekly giver to the cause of Jesus. If you're not an internet person, you can always call us at 231-468-2087 and just tell them that you want to help support God's cause through Strong Tower Radio. Thank you for listening to, praying for, and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is changing lives one listener at a time.
We're back with the Origins Conference that was taking place on the 100th anniversary of the Scopes Monkey Trial. It was a trial about evolution being taught in the public schools. We are our guests here today, and my co-host is Dr. Lucinda Hill. She's a research professor at Southern Adventist University, and Dr. Todd Wood, who is the president and founder of CORE Academy. He was at both the Evolving Conference that we talked about and the second one. They were back-to-back, the second one on Origins. Dr. Hill, will you continue our interview?
Yes, I was really impressed with 15 years ago or so, Dr. Todd, when you had that conversation with Daryl Falk, and you shared how before that time of public presentation, you and Daryl came together as Christian brothers. Tell us a little bit about how that went.
Sure, yeah. That I think, is an important aspect of what we were doing there. So, you know, it's easy for people to get together and argue about things they disagree with, right? It's easy to bicker and squabble over whatever it is that you don't like the other person thinking. It's quite a different thing when you are sort of deliberately trying to practice Christian community together. So our meetings prior to the public events, our meetings were always preceded by times of prayer, times of scripture reading. And this is not just like a half hour together. We would spend multiple days before we went out in public to present and testify to what we were thinking and what the Spirit was doing with us. And I think that's a terribly important thing. I think in the midst of these conflicts, and we in America have a lot of conflicts, I think it's terribly important for us to not allow opinions about certain things get blown up into division and broken fellowship. Now, there are some things, obviously, where, you know, there's certain theological points that are kind of not negotiable, and we can't really compromise on those. But I tend to think those are pretty specific to the gospel. And there are lots of other things that are less important, not unimportant, but not quite as important as Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and atonement for my sin. So I think it's, you know, in those cases, it's really important for us to be Christian together, to not forsake the assembling together, even if we don't see eye to eye on specific questions and specific issues. We need to give each other the grace and the ability to be uncertain, or perhaps to be certain about our differences. I'm sure you're wrong, Daryl, and he's sure I'm wrong. So I think that's an important ingredient to sort of turning down the temperature of a lot of the conflict that we have, especially here in America.
Dr. Lucinda, I think this is a benchmark for difficult discussions.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And the bottom line is, every person is a product of their upbringing. They are influenced by their worldview, which was given to them by their parents, their friends, the things that they've read, the media, what happened in school. And God is working with each one of us individually. And it's not for us to judge our brothers and sisters. It's for us to be supportive of each other's faith as we are growing in Christ. And I just love how you expressed that, but you lived that out in your conversations with Daryl. And I really appreciate you sharing that, Dr. Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's so important for us to be able to have, you know, grown-up conversations and not just, accusations. And I think it's really important because, like you say, most people get their worldview from their parents, from their church, from the culture around them. And a lot of it is so uncritically accepted. We just sort of assume that this must be correct. And so when you meet somebody who has a very different position, it's shocking, right? There's this, how can this possibly be? How can you believe that? Right? I've had those experiences. There's that shock.
What about adrenaline?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And that, I think, helps fuel the fights, right? It helps fuel this fight or flight response in our physiology that makes us think, ooh, I got to defend this thing. And yet we're not really prepared. We've just sort of uncritically accepted things. And I think, you know, my work with Daryl, I've said this before in public, and I'll say it right here, right now. Daryl has made me a better creationist. And that sounds crazy, I'm sure. But with Daryl, you know, I would present my best arguments for creation. And he is, sometimes he has good answers to my questions. Sometimes he just isn't bothered by that. That doesn't really bother me. And I think, how can this not bother you? It bothers me. How can it not bother you? Right? And so interacting with a living human being who has opinions and ideas is far more potent to sharpening your views than just reading a book and sort of reflecting on what you read. Books are inert. They can't give you good responses. But living human beings, they can give you really smart responses to lots of difficult questions. And that's such a valuable thing. And it really has, I think, made me a much better creationist, because it's forced me to go back to a lot of unexamined assumptions that I have. And yeah, some of them had to be discarded. And yeah, and others I feel like, no, that one's a good one. That one's going to stay, because I can think of lots of reasons why that must be true. So yeah, it seems so weird, because you would think it would be dangerous to talk to people on the other side. They're going to convince you and they're going to sway you. But that was not my experience. My experience was he made me better committed to my own position, but better Christianly committed, right? He made me a better Christian in my commitments to what I believe to be true.
What a wonderful.
It seems so crazy when I say it, and yet that's been my experience.
Let's turn a corner here and let's talk about the Origins Conference and explain about that Origins Conference. And if I could be so kind of unrefined, say it was for geeks.
For creationist geeks is what I think I hear you.
So can you break that down for the novices, those who might not have had studied it to such and saw those fine points? Share that, please.
Yeah. We're definitely going to try to make sure that this is accessible. So Origins is, as you mentioned, a technical conference. It is organized, well, it was originally started by a group that's now called the Creation Biology Society. Back then, there wasn't really any annual creationist meetings of any kind. And we sort of said, we need to fix that somehow. So we began meeting regularly, about 20 years ago. So this has been going on for a while, and we do a lot of technical stuff there. It's not the sort of conference that you can just show up to and hope to get a lot out of. It's pretty technical. And so there were a lot of presentations this year on research progress, but we also wanted to do something this year more geared towards the public because of the centennial, more geared towards inviting people from the community to join us. So we had three special sessions in the evening on the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday after the Devolving Conflict conference. So those special sessions, we had Dr. Randy Galuza, who is president of the Institute for Creation Research. He spoke on Sunday. Dr. Jeremy Blaschke, who's a professor of zoology at Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, he came and spoke on Monday night. And then Dr. Steve Austin, who probably will be a pretty familiar name to most creationists. He's been a longtime geology researcher in creationism, done an enormous amount of work. He came and wrapped up the conference on Tuesday. So, yeah. It's a big conference. There's a lot of technical stuff. There were some really interesting presentations and papers this year. I was kind of surprised, but the evening sessions were the ones that we devoted to the general public.
Tell us about those.
So the technical presentations, the couple things stuck out to me, one of which, and I'm going to try to make sure that this is understandable, so please ask questions, as we want to make sure that the audience can understand. One of the papers was on Behemoth and Leviathan. Now, that's a familiar concept to a lot of creationists. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, at the end of the book of Job, when the Lord shows up in the whirlwind to speak to Job, there are two what are called divine speeches. And the first divine speech is basically, you know, do you take care of creation? It's the question that God asks over and over again. And Job responds, I've said too much. I need to repent. And the second divine speech is focused on these two things, Behemoth and Leviathan. And creationists have long suspected maybe these were dinosaurs because the descriptions are just really, they don't really match any living creature, and we don't really know anything that was in the ancient Near East that could have been these creatures. So there's always been discussion that maybe these are dinosaurs. So this paper argued that maybe not. Maybe they really are sort of moving into the world of mythological creatures. And I don't mean to say that the Bible contains myth. It's more that God there was, God had already concluded his dominance of creation. And now he was tackling the big scary monsters of mythology and saying, no, I'm in control of those too. So whatever you think is scary and terrifying in your life, I'm in control of all of it, and you shouldn't be afraid of it because I'm in control. So that was that paper. Another paper was about the location of Babel. And unfortunately, that paper was another one where we said, where the researcher concluded, this city that's been proposed is not a good candidate for the Tower of Babel because the construction there was made of stone, not of fired brick, which is what the Bible describes as the construction material at the Tower of Babel. So those were two of the technical presentations that stuck out to me. And yes, they do sort of reflect my own nerdy obsessions. but yeah, so that was the technical stuff. Now, the evening session, so Dr. Galuza gave a really fascinating talk, and I was honestly really excited by that presentation. He gave us the idea, his little theme was, what will this be like at the bicentennial of the Scopes trial? Where will creationism be over the next 100 years? And that was, to me, really fascinating. He was really driving towards sort of casting a vision for what creationism could accomplish and what kinds of progress we could make over the next 100 years if we really sort of apply ourselves to thinking like creationists. And that's been really the theme as he just took over at the Institute for Creation Research a couple years ago. And his theme has been, let's do science as if Darwin never existed. Let's just be creationists and be creation scientists and learn what we can learn from that. And that was very much his emphasis at the conference then. So it was a really remarkable way of opening the conference. His was the first presentation as well. So it was a really remarkable way to kind of open the conference and sort of set the stage for what was coming after that. So all the technical stuff that came later, it really fit in really well with his idea of, let's be creation scientists. Let's not just be reacting to whatever the culture is doing, but let's deliberately set our own course according to the truth of Scripture and according to what God would have us do. So I think that really fit in well with the idea, if I may be so bold, of you know, let's have a different relationship with evolution altogether. So my emphasis in my presentation at Evolving Conflict was on, hey, you know, we don't have to fight. We can get along, at least cordially, and while we work out our differences on the technical matters. And I think the idea of just sort of setting aside the cultural pressures, not ignoring them, of course, but that is not the thing that determines our agenda, and allowing God and His Word to determine our agenda rather than what the world is saying. I think that's just tremendously important. And I was really encouraged by that first presentation. I'm not sure what I was expecting, but that wasn't it. And it was really exciting. So I guess I was just sort of surprised and delighted by that presentation. It was really great.
You know, what I'm kind of hearing you say, and as we close out this segment, it's kind of like Nehemiah when Tobias and the other gentleman was say, come down, let's talk. He says, I've got to finish this wall. I've got a great work to do. And is that what this speaker was saying? We have a great work to do. We'll dialogue as necessary, but our primary focus will be searching out the Word of God, and looking closer, learning lessons, and let creationists be creationists rather than reacting to every argument that is thrown at a person, even though you're not ignoring it. Is that somewhat close?
Yeah, that's very much it. It was very, the Nehemiah example is I think quite perfect and appropriate. That is exactly how I kind of think about it. It's fine. We can have conversations, but the great work remains to be done. Understanding God's creation, understanding the evidence that we have about the history of creation. And that needs to be our focus, the primary focus. And the other conversations, they're terribly important, right? Because you still, besides loving God, you also have to love neighbor. So we can't ignore other people. But yeah, there's more to it than just
answering
talking
objections.
Let's
take a break right now, and we're talking about the Origins Conference that was held in Dayton, Tennessee this summer. A great conversation. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Tom Majeur with Strong Tower Radio, Dr. Lucinda Hill, and he is Dr. Todd Wood, the founder and director of CORE Academy. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. I just want to thank you for listening to Strong Tower Radio. We value all your prayers and financial support, especially our monthly donors. To stay on the air and continue to proclaim the Three Angels' messages, we need more monthly donors. Any amount is greatly appreciated, $5, $10, $25, $50, and of course, we'd even appreciate a larger donation. You know Jesus is coming back soon. Many people are learning about His return. Please pray and ask God what kind of commitment you can do for Strong Tower Radio. And if you are already a monthly donor, won't you consider increasing your donation? You can call us at 231-468-2087 or mail a donation to P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601, or go online to str.fm and click that donate button. Thank you for your support of Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio today. The Origin conferences that were on either side, the Historical Conference and the Origins Conference. Wonderful two sessions. If you miss the first two sections of it, or the original recording that was aired on May the 25th, it's on the archives. It's talking about the background, the history, the lessons learned from the Scopes monkey trial. And that is on strongtowerradio.org. And it's under audio archives. And look under Strong Tower Radio today. Just you can put in the search line monkey trial. With that in mind, Dr. Lucinda Hill, will you continue our questioning with Dr. Wood?
Yes. I was really fascinated by your description of the the opening presentation at the Origins 2025 conference, and the challenge of going forward and doing creationist science. As creation scientists, let's just get in there and do the work and ask the research questions and report our results. I love that concept, and it really reminds me of Dr. Leonard Brand out at Loma Linda University. He's been doing creation science for many years, and he brings out the point that as a creationist scientist, he asks different research questions than an evolutionist would ask. He's looking at the same data, but looking at it from a different perspective, a different worldview. And that actually sometimes helps him to make discoveries that he would have missed if he hadn't been looking at it from the creationist perspective, from the biblical perspective. So picking up from that, tell us a little bit more about this conference and some of the papers that were presented where they were doing science from a creationist perspective.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for mentioning Leonard. He's always been a big inspiration to me. So it's nice to acknowledge him. And yeah, he's right. When you start asking questions about creation, that really changes the sorts of things that you want to know, the kinds of research that you want to do. It all gets really revolutionized when you start thinking like that. One of the things that stuck out was a project that I was involved with, looking at the created kinds idea in insects. And this is all a lot of technical stuff. Your audience isn't quite familiar with it. That's okay. We can recommend some resources on created kinds. But we were interested in understanding whether, you know, we'd done this work with vertebrates a lot, with mammals and birds and things like that, and we wanted to know if it worked with insects. And our research results were not very positive, so that was actually really interesting. And I think that was something that we really needed to know and really needed to understand. Insects represent something really quite different and unique from what we see in vertebrates. But that's not something that, you know, your average evolutionary biologist is going to bother with. They're only interested in how things evolved, and there's really only one interesting question to ask with regard to, you know, the relationships of creatures, and that is, how do they all fit on this evolutionary tree? And I'm thinking about, how do they fit on different evolutionary trees? So it's just a different way of thinking about things.
What I'm hearing you say is that as a creationist, when you're looking at these evolutionary trees, which are basically looking at similarities and differences between different creatures, you're going to interpret those relationships differently than an evolutionist would.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, for me, an evolutionary tree is, well, a published evolutionary tree is one estimate of how things might be related, and there are many such estimates. Many of them are hard to say are any better than any others, and that's one of the really curious secrets of evolutionary science, is that oftentimes the evolutionary trees are very unclear. They'll show you trees on, you know, PBS specials or whatever, but there's a lot of uncertainty associated with most of those trees. And for me, then, looking at it, I'm looking at it more in line of, you know, how does this fit with my understanding of God's creation? What do these similarities actually mean, and what do they actually tell me? Which is a very different way of approaching the data than what an evolutionary biologist would do.
Yes, and that is so powerful. The same data, but looking at it with different research questions, like Leonard Brand does, and coming to different conclusions.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the second planetary session that was open to the public? Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. So we did those evening sessions that were designed to be more understandable to people. The Monday night, we had a presentation by Jeremy Bloschke. Jeremy's a professor at Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. His specialty is something called tachinid flies, which is probably not that interesting to most of the people in the audience. But these flies are really weird. They lay their larvae on caterpillars, and then the larvae develop and grow and gradually eat away the caterpillar while the caterpillar is still alive. And then just before they eat up the last of the caterpillar and kill it, that's when they reach their maturity. It's a pretty horrifying way to develop, by consuming other things. They're called parasitoids. And Jeremy has developed a really strong interest in this question of divine goodness in the face of these really disturbing features of biology. It's a question that's very old in Christian theology, and the question is sort of this natural evil question. If God is good and God is powerful, then why is there real suffering in the world? And honestly, this has become one of my own obsessions as well in biology. I feel like this is one of the most important questions that we as Christians and creationists can really tackle. And that is the origin of suffering. Where does it come from, and why do people suffer? And Jeremy's point was that the creationist understanding of the world provides the most satisfactory answer to the origin of suffering. In our perspective, suffering began with the sin of Adam and Eve when they violated God's commandment and took the fruit they were not supposed to take. They broke that initial relationship with God that brought about the curse on creation, which ultimately then, thousands of years later, brought Jesus to earth to die for our sins and make it possible for us to be redeemed. In the evolutionary perspective, God uses suffering as the way of creating. Every natural disaster is just one more way that God used to make the world, or to make life, or to make us as a species. So it's a really different way of thinking about things, and I think honestly, I don't think there's much prospect for trying to reconcile that with the goodness of God. That's a really grim way of making the world with all the suffering. So that was the second evening. It's one of the biggest challenges we have in creationism.
Well, you know, that really brings up an important point, and that is that Charles Darwin actually pointed out that very same process of a wasp laying eggs on a caterpillar and the larvae eat the caterpillar alive. And he was horrified by that and specifically made the point that he would much rather believe that that happened through evolutionary processes rather than God creating something that would do that. And so to me, what Jeremy is doing is of utmost importance, dealing with a very powerful core issue that really impacts our relationship with God and what we believe about creation.
Yeah, you're right. That is straight out of Darwin. And it's really remarkable now that we have a creationist entomologist who's actually sort of devoted his main scientific work to understanding these kinds of relationships, these parasitoid relationships, where parasites eat something alive. And it was one of Darwin's big hangups. He just could not understand where's the goodness in that. But for Jeremy, the goodness of God is bigger than just parasitoids. It goes beyond that. And that parasites are not always bad. And that's one of his major emphases, is that the relationship between a parasite and a non-parasite is really blurry. It's easy for us to pick out the really horrifying parasites, but there's a lot of other places where the relationships can sort of drift back and forth from being negative and unpleasant to being almost beneficial, depending on environmental circumstances. So it's only when we focus on the worst aspects of creation that we come away thinking God must not be good. And we don't really pay attention to the goodness of God in the much larger picture of things. And that was one of his main points.
And that God allowed human beings to a choice, and they made a bad choice, and God is rectifying the choice that human beings made. Let's move right on to the third presenter. Our hour is going very, very quickly, but a very significant work of Dr. Stephen Austin, 50 years of research almost now. Give us a summary of 50 years.
Sure. Steve Austin's probably going to be pretty familiar to anybody who knows about creationism. Steve did his doctoral work on coal formation, and that was in the 70s, and he has been actively involved in many different aspects of creationist research since then. He worked for many years with the Institute for Creation Research, and then taught for many years at Cedarville University in their geology program there. And Dr. Austin has looked at, oh goodness, I hesitate to try to list it all, but as I mentioned, coal formation was one of his big ones. He was very interested in the eruption at Mount St. Helens because the eruption there gave him a sort of a natural laboratory to test his ideas about where coal came from, which was basically from a catastrophic deposition of a forest that had been torn up and was floating in water. That's where he thinks coal comes from. And that happened at Mount St. Helens, so that gave him a natural laboratory. He spent many years leading creationist tours of Grand Canyon, which led to a major interpretive book about the geology of Grand Canyon from a creationist perspective. He spent several years studying earthquake evidence in the Holy Land, especially the chronology of earthquakes that's revealed in the sediments of the Dead Sea, which is remarkable. And he spent a lot of time working on one particular depth deposit in the Grand Canyon called the Red Wall Limestone, where there are these shells of things called nautiloids. Nautiloids are like squids with long conic shells on their backs. And nautiloids are, it turns out, deposited in very unusual ways there in the canyon, and they look more like, more like catastrophic deposition than they look like the slow and gradual accumulation of limestone, as it's supposed to be done in the conventional model. So Steve's been hugely important throughout the history of creation, and his presentation there was a lot of reminiscing about all of that history and how much thinking about things as a creationist can lead to new insights and new avenues of research. So it was a real privilege to have him at our conference wrapping up the entire conference.
Well, Dr. Todd, where our hour is coming to the end, 100 years since Scopes' trial, what's coming next?
What's coming next? That's a good question. Part of it's going to depend on the faithfulness of God's people, and I'm hoping and praying earnestly that God will continue raising up, new generations of researchers that have a passion and interest and excitement about this. And I'm excited to say, at Core Academy, that's our main ministry is looking for these great new leaders of tomorrow, and we're working with a number of really, really interesting and really exciting young scholars who have a lot of passion and a lot of excitement for creation research. And I don't want to get too specific because I don't want to endanger their education, but they're all, there's a good number of them. And I think creationism looks really good for the next 100 years. It's difficult to say what will happen in 100 years. When you think back to 100 years ago at the Scopes trial, that was before we had antibiotics. That was just a few years after we discovered insulin as a treatment for diabetes. Other than Neanderthals and say a few fossils from Asia, we didn't know much about the human and ape fossil record. We didn't even know for sure that DNA was the stuff that made up genes. And so I think, you know, creationism 100 years from now may be unrecognizable to us today. But I hope, and I'm sure it will be, continue to be faithful to the revelation of God's word and the historic Christian faith. So I'm excited, and I can't wait to see what happens next. I'm still relatively young. I got another couple decades here of research in me, I hope, God willing, and I'm really excited to see what happens over the next couple decades.
Amen. Well, Core Academy is kind of the farm club for the origin researchers of tomorrow. Tell our listeners about how they can reach out to you if they have an interest in, and I know you could talk a while on this, but give us some concrete how you interact with students and how you can help them.
Sure. Most of our interactions with students are student-initiated. They reach out to us. And so if you've got people in the audience listening who you've got a real science nut in your household growing up, one of your kids, you can find us on the web at coresci.org. That's CoreSci.org. We're also on social media, primarily on Facebook, but you can also find us on Instagram. We have a podcast regularly called Let's Talk Creation. That comes out every 2 weeks. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the major podcast platforms, plus we're on YouTube if you want to watch it as a show. We also host regular retreats for students and scholars. We encourage people from around the eastern United States to join us in the Smoky Mountains to talk about issues of related to origins. We always have a little theme. We always have a little guest who's going to, you know, sort of walk us through some ideas. The weekends are extremely informal. We're not there to listen to a bunch of lectures, but we do have a lot of great conversations. And it's usually about, you know, what's the cutting edge in this area of creation research and where do we need to go next and how can students plug into that? So that is a great way to introduce yourself to our ministry. We really encourage everyone, if you have interest in that, find out more about our retreats. You can find out about that at coresci.org/smokies. That's S-M-O-K-I-E-S. That's for the Smoky Mountains, where we have the retreat, Smoky Mountain Creation Retreat. We have one right now coming up in a few weeks, and then we have another scheduled for this spring. So we would love to see you guys there. If you have an interest in this subject, if you have young people who are interested in creation research, we would love to get connected with them and help them connect into the larger world of creation research and scholarship.
Amen. Dr. Todd, thank you so much for being our guest on Strong Tower Radio today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And Dr. Lucinda Hill, thank you so much for introducing us to Dr. Todd, and thank you for your guidance in these core topics of creationism.
And thank you for the privilege of coming together and having these discussions. It's a great privilege.
For Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Majeure. God bless. Till next time. Bye now.